Sermons, usually I try to pray about, you know, a sermon to the congregation. But, you know, there were things that the Lord was personally talking to me, convicting me about during this week. And I felt like this personal conviction that God was giving to me, it would be also good to share it with the congregation. And the title is Choosing Contentment, Choosing Contentment. And God was really speaking a lot to me. And so, you know, I was preparing it. Again, it's just too long. It was getting too long. So today is part one. And, you know, I usually don't go into the minor prophets, but it's Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. It says this, though, and it sounds, you know, depressing, but again, this passage spoke to me. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though olive crop fails and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That word rejoice is similar to be content in the Lord. Okay? I will be joyful, or in other words, I'll be content in God my Savior. And God's people said, you know, the secret of contentment, okay, and again, that word is to be in that state of joy, that state of happiness, okay, to be content, to be in that state of happiness. But the secret to be content, it is to learn to enjoy what God has given you, okay? Instead of trying to grasp for more, you know, enjoy what God is doing now in your life. Enjoy what God has already given you. Enjoy what you got. Okay? And you know, you have to ask yourself, what am I enjoying right now? Okay? I know it's not, the world's going crazy, but what am I enjoying right now? Not, you know, when this happens, then I will be happy, you know. If you're single, oh, if I get a girlfriend, then I will be happy. When I get married, then I will be happy. You know, as a family, oh, when we get a bigger house, then I will be happy. You know, when my kids get older and Tay and I, when they leave the house, you know, I will be happy. No, we love you. We love it, you know. What was difficult for me during this pandemic over this 2.5-3 years is, you know, I got caught up in that mentality, that way of thinking. When this happened, then I will be okay. You know, I'll be happy. In the beginning, this is what they told us, 2 weeks. Okay, we're going to be locked down for 2 weeks. And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to bear through. You know, my family, we're going to bear through this for 2 weeks, and we'll be okay. Everything will be okay. And as we all know, it wasn't. Okay? It wasn't. And, you know, a lot of turmoil during the, you know, election. And most of us was thinking, if this person is elected, or that, you know, or another group, if that person was elected, that everything will be okay. I believe no matter who was elected, it wouldn't have been okay, you know, as we see during this time. You know, it was just so difficult, you know. This was my mentality. Once the vaccine is developed, you know, everything will be okay. And you know, right now it doesn't seem to be getting better. We still have the pandemic. There's a war between Russia and Ukraine. Like never before, there's a potential for nuclear war in my lifetime. There's economic crisis, mass shootings. You know, just a few days ago, a leader in Japan was assassinated. You know, there's a great division like I never saw before in my lifetime in the nation, in the church, and in the family because of politics, because of different ideology, abortion, because of the issue of abortion, racism, gender issues. And again, my challenge, especially, you know, I can't control the nation, you know, but in our church, in our family, you know, my daughters, you know, as they're getting older, they have different views than me. But first thing is, make sure there's no division, though. No division. Even though you have a different view, make sure there's no division. That's very important, because if there is, you know, I believe the devil will come and influence us. Right? There's no division. Yes, you could have different view, but if we fight for that, we could talk, communicate, work through things. Right? We could still love each other. You know, honestly, I'm just being honest. I feel overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed. I am tired. You know, at times I get scared. I feel weary. And I'm being honest, I feel angry at times. I guess you guys don't, but you know, I feel angry at times. And it's just, And right now, like, I could fall into this old thinking again, but I go, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, maybe I'm thinking, this time, you know, once the gas price goes down, everything's going to be okay. No. Yeah. See, what I need to do, and this is the personal conviction that God's been giving me, what I need to do, I need to change my thinking. I need to change my thinking. I need to find joy in what I have now. Not when the gas price goes down. I need to find joy in what I have now. I need to choose to be content now. Okay? You see, contentment is a choice. Say that to your neighbor. You are as happy as you choose to be. You know, if you are not happy now, you're not going to be happy later. Okay? Contentment is not found in the future. You know, because I've been to some of the poorest regions and countries, and, you know, I can take you to some of the poorest place in the world and show you two people living right next to each other. One is miserable, okay? And one is happy. Why? Okay? This is the poorest place in the world. Why? Happiness has nothing to do with your circumstances. Contentment has to do with our attitude. Okay? Contentment has to do with our attitude. If you're not happy with what you are living on right now, you're not going to know how to be happy later or when you have more. Contentment and happiness is a choice. And this is the challenge that God is, you know, personally giving to me. And since I'm preaching it, a challenge that I'm giving it to you. Right now, choose right now to enjoy what God has given you. Okay? What you have right now. Amen. I got 2 points, you know, today, and the third point that I prepared, I'm going to do next week. Number one, be content with what you have. Say that to your neighbor. You know, why? Because a sure way, if there's anybody in this room who wants to be miserable, if you want to be miserable, there's a sure way to be miserable. Be discontent with what you have now. Okay? Believe life is all about what you have, what you drive, what you wear. Life is about how much possession that you can get. So if you are making $30,000 a year of salary now, you know, and you say, I need more, you know, if you're making $30,000, you know, what's going to happen is you're going to believe, I need $50,000. If you're making $50,000 right now, once you get it, you're going to say, I need $70,000. If you're making $70,000, you're going to say, I need $100,000. If you're making $100,000, okay, you're going to say, I need $1,000,000. Okay? I need a million. Those who are unhappy, those who are miserable, are those, you know, okay, you know, the reason, you know, those who compare themselves to others. Right? And if you compare, you'll be miserable. The reason you're unhappy is that person's making more than me. And you'll compare salaries. Right? You're going to spend a lot of energy just comparing salaries, spending a lot of time thinking about it, getting upset about it. You'll compare marriages. You'll compare families, parents. You'll compare children with yours. And those who believe life is unfair because someone is taller, you know, you're going to be miserable, except Calvin, you know. You're going to be miserable. Somebody's healthier, somebody's prettier, this person's more popular, this person's more talented, this person's more athletic. Then you're going to get upset because someone has more likes and followers on their Instagram. If you don't know how to enjoy what you have now, if you don't know how to be content with what God is doing in you right now, what God has given you right now, you will not be happy. You will not be happy. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Okay? And, you know, this passage, when it says love, okay. You know, God created all things in the world, right? And it's good. But God calls us to steward those things, to manage those things, to look after those things, right? But not to love it. Not to love the world, meaning love the things in the world. And in this passage, what it's talking about to love? Love here means you worship it, okay? You idolize it. You prioritize it. So this kind of love, what it means in this passage, don't let the things of the world become your identity. Right? Don't let it become your identity. Why? You know, because the Bible tells us, you know, we have all these things because God loves us, and we're supposed to, you know, be a steward of it, a good steward of it, right? But we could cross that boundary and we start idolizing and loving it and we worship it. When you cross that boundary, the Bible says those things, the Bible says those things are temporary. It will pass away. And because when we make idol of it, gotta remember, it does not last. It will not satisfy. It will make you more miserable. Will control you. Okay? When we make things of this world, what happens? It becomes an idol. Okay? And when it becomes an idol, it controls you and it will hurt you. Okay? It will hurt you. Yeah, like God created food, you know, and with different things that God created, we can make it, you know, really good, right? We can make it really good. And God created food to enjoy it so that it will be healthy, okay? So that we can live, but not worship it, okay? We're not supposed to bow down, to pizza, ice cream. Okay? Not to worship it. God gave us in this world, adventure, activities. There's so many things that we could do in this world. But we're not to love it more than God. Okay? We're not to love it more than God. In this world, we can achieve, there's work, we can make money, we can buy things, but it can't become our security. It cannot become our identity. God created relationship. That's how God created us. The worst thing that you could do to a human being is a solitary confinement. Right? That's the worst thing you could do. And one of the worst, but God created us to have relationship, to be in a community. We are made for relationship. Relationship is God's idea. But you can't make another person an idol in your life where you think this person is the answer to all your problems. If you do that, you will be miserable. You will be miserable. And disappointed. there are struggles and emptiness in this world, but we can't avoid our struggle and fill the emptiness with things of this world, like drugs and alcohol, food, video game, social media, internet, porn, or sex. The things of this world is, yes, God's creation. And it is, after he created all this stuff, the Bible says it is good. Okay? It is good. It's good. But we could cross the boundary, like with anything. Okay? We could cross the boundary with spiritual gift. You have the gift of leadership. And you're supposed to be a steward of that gift. You could have a gift of worship. You could have gift of intercession. You could have gift of teaching, right? And you have a gift of leadership, and it's God's gift to you, and it's good. But we could cross the boundary, and you start controlling people and manipulating people through this gift of leadership. You have the gift of prophecy, and you could cross the boundary. The Bible says prophetic, okay? Prophetic is there so that you will encourage and edify and comfort the church. But you could use it, look at me. Oh, I know what you did. Oh, you need to listen to me because I know better than you. And you could cross that boundary. Right? And it's a gift from God. We can make it bad. When the creation of God becomes what controls us, okay, it becomes what we worship. It becomes what we prioritize. It becomes what we idolize. When you love God's creation instead of the Creator, your life, our life, my life will be empty, will not be full. Those things will not be life-giving. Okay? Will not last. Those things become counterfeit. It will deceive you. It will drain you. It will drain you. We can appreciate nature. I appreciate sunsets. I appreciate sunrise. I really appreciate stars and galaxies. When I was in Nepal, I appreciated the Himalaya mountains. We could appreciate wisdom. We can appreciate talents and gifts and abilities and achievement. We can appreciate food. We can appreciate relationship. But we need to understand and recognize it all comes from God. It all comes from God. When you pursue temporary things, you forget who you are in Christ. That's the danger. In this culture, our identity is in our possessions, you know, our giftings, you know, in relationships. But you know, as a Christian, you are not defined by those things. As a Christian. Christian means little Christ. You represent Christ. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. When you are defined by what you have and the temporary things, then you know what you say? The shoes that I'm wearing is who I am. This car that I drive is my identity. This phone, without it, I am totally helpless. If I don't have this, I'm lost. And that's what we're doing to this right now. It has become our idol. But we first see, like I see it with my kids, when it becomes an idol, wow, it's really hurting them. They don't even realize it, how much it's hurting them. Who am I? Okay. It's the most important question we all need to answer. If your identity is in temporary things, you will not be stable. Okay. You will be swayed by people's opinion. You will be vulnerable to other people telling you who you are. You will be vulnerable to lies. You will be vulnerable to spiritual attacks. Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this. As Christians, you, dear children, dear child of God, you are from God and have overcome them because you're from God. Okay? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. How are you going to overcome the one in the world? Because who is in you? Because of your identity in Jesus Christ. Your identity in Christ. In your identity in Christ, you're forgiven in Christ. There's no condemnation in Christ. You have eternal life in Christ. Greater is he that is in you than the one that's in the world in Christ. You are completely accepted in Christ. You are valuable to God in Christ. You cannot be separated from God in Christ. You can do all things through Christ. You are God's temple. You are chosen by God in Christ. You're set free from sin in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. I just spoke scripture to you. I didn't make those things up. That's what scripture says. You don't need lower gas prices to overcome. You are more than conqueror in Christ. You already have that now. When you know who you are in Christ, you know you have more than enough. When you believe your life is based on what you have, and, you know, we fall into this trap, I need more. You know what? It's never enough. It's never enough. Point number two. Be content in your work. Okay, be content. Say that to your neighbor. When I say be content in your work, it also means, you know, when you, as you serve in ministry, as you take care of your child, you know, it's in the home, you know, that's what I mean by work, okay, in work. You know, some might be thinking, you know, if I had another job, a better job, then I will be happy. You know, at home, I know none of you are thinking this, but our kids are away, so I could say this. If I had another child, you know, I'll be so much more happier. I know, yeah. In those bad days, we all have those thoughts, you know, in the bad days, and but my challenge to you, okay, my challenge to you, learn to enjoy the work that you have now. Okay, right now, not when, oh, this, you know, my kids grow up, or when we move, or when the circumstances and the job changes. No, show enthusiasm, meaning contentment, joy, and happiness for your work. You know, show contentment in your work. Show joy, show enthusiasm now. You know, and the showing contentment. This is the beauty of showing contentment. It doesn't matter if you have a menial job. It doesn't matter if you have a part-time job or a full-time job. It doesn't matter if it pays minimum wages or, you know, well, nobody in this church is there, but 1% here in that 1%, you know, status, you know. You might be managing a multi-million dollar project, or you might be managing one child. Even if you don't like your job, it doesn't matter. Yeah? It doesn't matter. Learn to enjoy your work. Okay? Be content in your work. Be content in your work. Content means be happy with your work, enjoy your work, show enthusiasm. Okay? Even if you didn't get that promotion, even when you are not getting along with your manager or your coworker, show enthusiasm. I use that word for joy because enthusiasm is Latin, en theos. That's where it comes from. In theos. In God. Okay, that's where the word comes from, enthusiasm. In God. Okay, to be content no matter what work you are doing. Be in this position to be inspired by God. Right? Be in that position to be inspired by God. That's enthusiasm in your work. That's learning to be content in your work. Right? What does it mean to be inspired by God in work? You know, well, you know, when God is inspiring you, you know, this is how I feel. I want to go the extra mile. I want to show genuine joy. I have compassion for people. I want to help someone in need. I want to do the best that I can do. I want to go beyond the normal. In this culture, though, when in your work, okay, don't follow the world's philosophy. In your work, what it tells you, do the minimum. Okay? Cut corners. Do little as possible. This is what this culture tells us to do. You know, like I was thinking back, the jobs that I had. When I was a teen, I worked in the amusement park in the weekends. You know, it was an amusement park called Old Chicago. It was an indoor amusement park. Right? I worked in the gas station. You know, I worked in the gift shop. For 2 weeks, I worked in the state fair. You know, state fair, as a teen. And then when I went to college, you know, to support myself, you know, to just extra fund, I worked in the as a waiter in a Chinese restaurant. But there was a point where I couldn't pay for my tuition, so I stopped school. And then I got a job at the University of Wisconsin library system in charge of the journals. So boring. You know, all the journals. And, you know, back then, we didn't have computers. It was all car catalog. I had to type up the catalogs and stuff like that, you know. And I was just thinking that I went into ministry, you know, I became a Christian. When I became a Christian, I was a Sunday school teacher. For many years, people don't realize this, for many years, I did small group in the church, small group, for many years before, you know. When we would have retreats, you know, Tay, when he has retreat, he leads. But I was back then, okay, I don't know if people would, do you remember transparencies? That's what I did. I was a transparency guy, doing the transparency, And then I went into ministry as an elementary pastor. I did elementary for 4 years. I was a youth pastor, college pastor, English congregation pastor. I was in the Korean church where they, if you're in the Korean church, there's an English congregation. I started a church. I pastor a church with hundreds of people. And now I pastor Catalyst. Why is it important to show enthusiasm in work? It is that, you see, this is what I learned from all the work that I've been doing. It is that joy, it is that enthusiasm that makes me good at what I do. There's something in me. Okay, I'm going to be honest. There's one job that I was not enthusiastic about, and that was helping my mom out at the cleaners. that one job that I didn't show enthusiasm, I pretend that I was oversleeping. My mom would try to, make me get up to go to the cleaners. And you know what? Because I was not enthusiastic, I was miserable. I was so miserable in that job. Time went slower. No, when you're miserable, it's just, I look at the clock, okay? It's get there like 8 a.m., right? 8 a.m. And then I thought, it must be lunchtime. It's 8:10. it's so slow. Time is so slow there because I was not enthusiastic being there. But you know what? When I was working in the Chinese restaurant, I was enthusiastic as a waiter. And the boss, the owner, she loved me so much, she tried to set me up with her daughter. That's how much she liked me. Can you imagine? Her daughter who went to Ivy League schools. That's, what enthusiasm do. But, of course, it wasn't God's will at that time. And anyway, I was an open to relationship back then, And when I got that job at University of Wisconsin Library, it was first as a desk job. It was just a desk job, right? But I showed so much enthusiasm. I kept on getting promoted until I was in charge of journals. the journals in the library system. Yeah. As a pastor, showing enthusiasm is something in me, even though sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes it's just overwhelming. Because think about it, as a pastor, if I'm grumpy, selfish, complaining, I gotta preach again this Sunday. Complaining about different people. How many of you know, complaining doesn't make work feel better? Did you ever think about that? Raise your hand if complaining helped you in your work. No. Right. Think about it. As your pastor, I'm depressed. I'm bitter about what I have to do. Guess what? If I'm not enthusiastic about being your pastor, I will make a terrible pastor. I will make a terrible pastor. And that principle applies in whatever you do, whatever you are responsible for, whatever the Lord is doing in you now. But if we complain about the job, the work, and no matter what job you have, what work you have, it's not going to get better. When you're enthusiastic, guess what? You will stand out. Anytime you take pride in your work, you find joy. Parenting, think about it. Growing up, I didn't think my parents was that happy about parenting me. Yeah, how that affects parenting. Right? Your child needs to see joy in parenting from your, you know, from you. But if you show enthusiasm, contentment in your work, the joy in your work, God will raise you up. Okay? God will raise you up. You don't have to wait for the circumstances to change. God will raise you up. And you know, that was David. Okay? David was in the world, you know, he was, as a little boy, he was anointed by prophet Samuel, right, to be the next king of Israel. And that did not happen for many years. And he had an opportunity to become king by killing Saul, you know, by cheating or something, I don't know, by taking shortcuts. And you know what he said? No. I'm going to let God raise me up. I'm not going to make myself king. Right? You know what's miserable? When you try to lift yourself up. It's miserable. In your work, right? And do you, in your workplace, do you see somebody who's trying to lift themselves up? You don't like them. I don't like people like that. Right? No, no. When you're content, when you know the secret of being content, God will raise you up. God will raise you up. Amen? Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. That's working for the Lord. Here's the secret. Huh? Working for the Lord. Not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Jesus is your Lord. And you need to understand who you are really working for. Your human boss is not your boss as a Christian. Your boss is Jesus. Okay? It's Jesus. You know, it's easier to be enthusiastic about your job when you turn the focus of your work from, you know, I am doing this for my company. I'm doing this for this human boss. I'm doing this for a paycheck. And turn that, as a Christian, to I'm doing this for the Lord. Okay? I am doing, you know, hey, you know, baby, my baby, I'm doing this for the Lord. Right? I'm doing this for the Lord. You know, Sunday school, I'm doing for the Lord. You know, you go into your office, before you go in, proclaim, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. And with that in mind, you know, that's encouraging, you know, because it doesn't matter what you're doing then. You could be scraping paint from the wall. You could be washing dishes, which I did in the Chinese restaurant too. You could be washing dishes. You could be picking up garbage. When you are doing it for Jesus, you turn, and this is the encouragement, you turn the work that you're doing into worship. It's worship. It becomes worship. It becomes pleasing